Hi everyone! Today I'll be reading chapter 10 and 11 of Avengers 2. Chapter 10. In Avengers Tower, Steve Rogers and Maria Hill went over reports of Ultron sightings, trying to figure out a pattern. "He's all over the globe," Hill said. "Robotics labs, weapons facilities, jet propulsion labs. Reports of a metal man or men coming in and emptying the place."
"Fatalities?"
"Only when engaged. Mostly guys left in a fugue state going on about old memories, worst fears, and something too fast to see."
"Right,"
Steve thought. He'd wondered when the twins would show up again.
"The Maximoffs. Makes sense Ultron would go to them. They have someone in common."
"Not anymore," Hill said. She handed him the tablet she was using to scan reports. On it, Steve saw a still image from a security camera. Baron Strucker lay in his NATO cell, a blurry Ultron shape leaving the frame. "Peace," was scrawled above Strucker's head.
"This was a new wrinkle,"
Steve thought.
"Tony should know about it."
On his way to the lab, Steve called Clint on the phone in the corner of the next room.
"I answer to you,"
he was saying.
"Yes, ma'am."
He noticed Steve and said,
"Gotta go."
After hanging up, he shrugged at Steve.
"Girlfriend."
Steve felt something off in Clint's demeanor. But he let it go. There were more important things to worry about right then. In the lab, he showed the rest of the team the still image on Marie Hill's tablet.
"A message,"
he said.
"Ultron killed Strucker."
"And he did the Banks at the crime scene," Tony said, meaning Ultron had let it be known he had done it. He could just as easily have erased the image or disabled the camera.
"This is a smokescreen,"
Natasha said.
"Why send a message when you just made a speech?"
Steve had a guess.
"Strucker knew something. Something specific that Ultron wants us to miss." "Yeah,"
Natasha said. She searched through the Avengers files on Strucker and shook her head when the screen displayed "Record not found."
"Everything we had on Strucker has been wiped." "Not everything,"
Steve said. Later, surrounded by boxes or paper files, they continued the search. Maybe Steve was old-fashioned. He knew he was old-fashioned. But right then, he was glad they'd kept paper records as well as electronic files.
"Search for known associates,"
he said.
"Strucker had a lot of friends."
"These people are horrible," Bruce said. Tony saw a name he recognized on one of the files. Ulysses Claw. "I know that guy. From back in the day. Outfits off the African coast. Black market arms." He saw them looking at him, judging him. "They're all conventions. You meet people. I didn't sell him anything. But he talked about finding something new. A game changer. It was all very Ahab." They scanned file photographs of Claw, and they noticed something on Claw's neck.
"That?"
"It's a tattoo," Tony said. "Claw had lots of them. I don't think he had one." Phil pointed at other part of the image.
"Those are tattoos."
Then back to Claw's neck.
"That's a brand."
Tony took a picture of the brand with his hand held and did an image search, transferring it to a bigger screen. "It's a word," Bruce said. "Some African language. Means thief, but in a meaner way."
"Which language?"
Steve asked. Bruce was scrolling through search results. "It's from, Wakanda?" Tony and Steve exchanged a look. "Is this guy got out of Wakanda with some of their trade goods?" Tony began.
"I thought your dad said he got the last of it,"
Steve said. Tony shrugged. "Probably why they didn't brand him." I don't follow," Bruce said. "What do they make in Wakanda?" Steve held up a shield made of vibranium alloy. "The most powerful metal on Earth," Tony said. Steve returned his attention to Claw's file.
"Where is this guy now?"
Chapter 11. Ulysses Claw considered himself a businessman, that's all. He traded in things other people considered evil, and his office might have been in a stranded sea vessel located in a salvage yard on the coast of South Africa, but the ship's hold made a great warehouse. It was also remote, so nobody bothered him. Right now, he was on the phone. "Don't tell me your man swindled you! I sent you 6 short-range heat-seeking missiles and got both full of rusted parts! You're gonna make it right with the next missile I send, you'll come very much faster." He hung up and got back to a call he'd left on hold. "Minister, where was I?" Then the lights went out. His phone dropped the call. Down in the warehouse, workers looked around nervously and got out flashlights. Claw thought he heard something, like a short scuffle out in the hall. He got a gun from his desk drawer and got his back against the wall, ready for anything. Or so he thought. All of a sudden, a man appeared in front of him. Claw fired, but the guy was already gone, and Claw's gun was gone too. The lights came back on, and the man he'd seen in a flash was there again. So was Claw's gun, disassembled on the desktop. Its bullets were lined up in a neat row. Behind the man, a woman entered the room. Yes, Claw said. The enhanced, shook his prize pupils. You want the candy? He pointed at a bowl of hot candy on the desk. Pietro looked at it, but did not take one. I was sorry to hear about Strucker, Claw went on. But you knew what kind of a world he was helping create. Human life, not a growth market. The twins, or so Strucker had called them, looked at each other. Claw saw the look and understood what it meant. He'd been in tougher spots than this. Is this your first time intimidating someone? I'm afraid I'm not that afraid. Everybody's afraid of something, Wanda said. Cuttlefish, Claw said. They looked confused. Deep sea fish. They make lights. Disco light. To hypnotize their prey, then. Saw a documentary. Terrifying. Pietro flickered, and a hot candy appeared in his hand. That's right, Claw thought. Put yourselves at ease, and let's get down to business. So if you're going to fiddle with my brain and make me see a giant cuttlefish, he said, I know you don't do business, and I know you're not in charge, and I only deal with the man in charge. The words no sooner left his mouth than the wall behind him caved in and a giant gleaming robot smashed into the office, knocking Claw down. He reconsidered. Maybe the situation was worse than he had thought. The robot leaned down until its face was bare inches from Claw's. It had a facial expression, a thousand little parts on its face moving to mimic human emotions. There's no man in charge. Now, let's talk business, it said. And it looked greedy. Claw showed the robot the goods right away. As his mercenaries cleared workers out of the main hold, Claw, the twins, and Ultron crossed a steel grate footbridge that spanned the lower level of the hold. On the upper level was a secret room behind a section of the wall. It slid open to reveal several dozen barrels of toxic waste, and then the entire room slid aside to reveal a secret within the secret. A gleaming lab space filled with glass cases. This was what Ultron has come for. Claw handed one of the cases to Ultron. Vibranium, the robot said, its voice almost a purr. You know, this came at great personal cost, Claw said, running his fingers along the Wakandan brand on his neck. It's worth billions. Ultron looked down at him. The robot's eyes closed for a moment, then opened again. Now, so are you, he said, as he set the vibranium down on top of a toxic waste barrel. It's all under your dummy holdings. Finance is so weird. But I always say, keep your friends rich and your enemies rich, and wait to find which is which. Claw had heard that one before. Stark, he said. He was on guard again. What? Ultron looked puzzled. Tony Stark used to say that. To me. Claw backed away. You're one of his. What? I'm not. Confusion turned to anger on Ultron's face. I'm not. You think I'm one of Stark's puppets? His hollow men? But where are you going? He grabbed Claw's arm. Look at me. Stark is nothing. He flung Claw's arm downward, a laser flaring from Ultron's hand to wound Claw's arm. Ultron kicked him onto one of the barrels. But before Claw had even hit the ground, he was apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sure that's going to be okay. Claw scrambled away and got out of there. The twins watched, not intervening, but not happy either. I don't understand, Ultron said, looking at them. Just don't compare me to Tony Stark. Just thing with me. Stark is... he's a sickness. They didn't respond, but someone else did. Oh, Junior, came a voice from the other end of the footbridge. They turned to see Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. Iron Man was shaking his helmeted head in mock sadness. You're going to break your old man's heart. If I have to, Ultron said.
Nobody has to break anything,
Thor warned. Ultron smirked. Clearly you've never made an omelette. Beat me by 1 second, Tony complained.
It's funny, Mr. Stark,
Pietro cut in.
It's what? Comfortable?
He pointed at the weapons surrounding them.
Like old times?
This was never my life, Iron Man said. Captain America took a step forward and focused on the twins.
You two can still walk away from this.
Oh, we will, Wanda said.
I know you've suffered,
Cap went on. But Ultron lost patience at that point and shouted an interruption. Gah! Captain America! God's righteous man! Pretending you could live without a war. I can't physically throw in my mouth, but...
If you believe in peace, then let us keep the peace,
Thor said. Ultron took a beat to set up his comeback. I think you're confusing peace with quiet. What's the vibranium for? Tony demanded. It was obvious they weren't getting anywhere sharing their feelings. Time to cut to the chase. I'm glad you asked that. Ultron looked at each of the Avengers in turn, clearly enjoying the moment. Because I'd like to take this opportunity to explain my evil plan.